Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Hi there, John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. Interesting conversation there with Linda Kathmandu. And it's true. Ever since the leash law, it was a different world with the loose pets. Number one, you were far more likely to step in dog crap. And number two, you were far more prone to get a graphic demonstration on the street corner of how dogs procreated, if I can say that. A lot of that back in the day. And there was the occasional bit mailman and milkman, which wasn't good. We got rid of almost all of that with the leash law. We do seem to have more feral cats. And two, we have raccoons. We have squirrels getting into the gardens and the garbage cans and things. And every now and then you have a bear that comes through the yard. So if you ever have contact with any creature and it scratches or bites you, even though it seems like no big deal, you should immediately contact your doctor. And if you're unable to do that, immediately contact your county's public health officials, because while the actual bite or scratch of an animal, especially for real he-men like you and me, probably would be nothing. I mean, I'm surprised the dogs don't break their teeth on my muscles, but rabies does exist in this day and age in mammals. Rabies is always fatal in humans. And so a contact like that, you should check with your doctor. And if you handle a bat or any kind of thing like that, you should call your doctor and just ask a question, see what he or she thinks is the best thing to do. But speaking of the leash law, is it really working? And I ask because from what I see and from what I'm reading from locals on Reddit and Nextdoor and Facebook is many people in Northern Nevada are not obeying it. Constant posts about bad confrontations with people getting attacked by loose dogs on the trail. A lot of people this year have been bitten on the trail when they're walking or even riding a horse. An angry dog will just suddenly attack. The leash law may not apply on your trail, but if you see somebody coming up the other direction, somebody with a dog, not on a leash, that could easily be trouble, right? There is a leash law in Washoe County and in Reno, but it seems there are as many unleashed nipping dogs as there are lost cats in town. If you have an experience on this, give us a call. What's been your reaction from pet owners when something like that happens, or pet owners? And what's your position on this? 884-9910. It seems everybody has a bad confrontation with an animal, loose animal story. 884-9910. Let's go to Dave calling in from Reno. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good, John. How are you?
It's a good one, my friend.
I enjoyed you on the channel you were on news, and had to stop watching that one as soon as you were off because
the channel that shall not be named. Yes, I miss it too. Morning, everybody.
So I just wanted to say, I know I missed some of the last commentary you were making, but on the dogs and cats, I've always been a dog person. I don't dislike cats, but I've just always had a dog. So, of course, she was raised without a cat, and that's just a natural instinct. So I'm out in Golden Valley, and I have, an acre, and it's well-fenced. But when cats come in to the yard because they're allowed to roam, I'm so afraid that she'll go after it and get her face ripped off, her eyes or nose, and, it'd be easy to do with those claws, and I'd be looking at thousands of dollars in vet bills. So it's just, people need to realize that too.
Did you have a confrontation with a loose pet?
Well, cats come into the yard. The neighboring ones are starting to learn that there's a dog here that'll chase them. But I'm just afraid she's going to catch up to one and it'll turn. And like I say, just, naturally defend itself and take a swipe. And one good swipe will take out an eyeball or nose or anything. And I don't want the confrontation, but cats are allowed to roam.
You're talking about the cat doing that to a dog.
Yes, to, you know, my dog, that's just a natural instinct to go after a cat.
Boy, like you must have some vicious cats in your neighborhood, my friend.
No, they take off and run, but I'm afraid if they get cornered and she catches up, you know, her not knowing, because she's never really caught one. But like I say, it wouldn't take much with those claws to rip her face open, and then not any fault of hers or the cat's. But then I'm looking at, you know, some, like I say, an eyeball or a nose could get ripped wide open.
Yeah, but if they encroach upon your own yard, what can you do? You know?
Yeah. So I think they're learning, because I see them more and more seldom. But like I said, I just to let people know that, you know, that is how it works. She's the sweetest dog in the world, but it's just that natural instinct of wanting to chase cats.
That's for sure. Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a good day. 884-9910. Also, it's getting closer to reality, folks. There will be a presidential election next year. There will be a candidate for each party, and the polling today indicates that it's almost certain the two candidates will be Joe Biden and Donald Trump. As Drudge headlined this week, quote, "Poll shows Biden wins over Trump in hell rematch." And nightmare scenario. Yes, it would be. DeSantis has not fared too well. I think the real talent there is with his wife. You know, that's just me. And the liberal media knows this. It's why MSNBC calls Mrs. DeSantis America's Karen. But Ron, personally, I think he should quit while he's behind. He had his chance on stage, and yes, it's still going on, but it just has not taken off for him. He had a couple of stumbles, and just this week, here's one. He wanted a probe of Bud Light. He claims Budweiser shareholders, many of them seniors, lost money because Bud Light chose to team up with a trans influencer, which could be a good point, but they really didn't lose much money, these shareholders. The stock has come back like most stocks do. It's where it was in March, even though they did lose some beer customers. Listen, I don't like what Budweiser did either. I don't like Disney for going woke, but these are businesses and they're free to lose as many customers as they want. We don't want government to control the private boardroom decisions, right? The market decides. It just seems to a growing number of people that government is constantly looking for more control. They want to top the lockdowns that they did over COVID, I guess. Actually, Democrats, where's your support for Ron on this? For Republicans, what happened to conservative small government and fewer regulations? Then there's Mike Pence. He's going to excite the base. A reporter asked him, "What's your favorite food?" He said, "Water on the table." I mean, really, folks. I personally over here, I like Tim Scott. I look at the polls and I realize I'm the only one. But I think they're both smart, decent, wonderful people who are just enjoying 1% support. So that gets us back to Donald Trump. The polling today indicates it's almost certain the two candidates are going to be Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And there are a lot of us who think that the Democrats will pull some sort of trick because they've got to know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, maybe they can't win. But they're not that good at their jobs, right? Biden's like no Dairy Creamer. Nobody's first choice, but he fills in. He's like McDonald's for when you're overseas. It's not the thing you really wanted, but there he is. It's 16 after 11. We have our next guest up next. The Sutro Tunnel. Have you been there? It's open, I guess. Do you know? And, I mean, they totally rehabbed this, and it's open to the public. That's our next guest coming up. It is Taylor talking about that. In the meantime, we're taking calls at 884-9910. So Taylor's up next on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 1116.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. Everett from Reno calling about the loose animals and the leash law and animal problems. Go for it, Everett.
Okay. One thing I have not heard you talk about is we are getting a heavy invasion of rats. I catch the squirrels that get into everything and dig up your tulips, but now lately I'm catching rats. We've
yes.
been here for almost 30 years in the Northwest. We're close to the big R on Peavine. And I have never seen rats before. So far, I have caught 10.
Everett, I fully agree. I've spent most of my life here. I totally agree. And I've asked around, why do we have these rats or roof rats and so much more than what we had in the past? Now, some people, their theory is that all this construction has disrupted the rats' natural habitat where they used to hang out, and now they're spreading all over town. And we had roof rats recently. You know, I tell you what gets rid of
rats.
Yeah. You know what gets
roof rats.
Oh.
What's the difference between a rat and a roof rat?
I don't know. They were in the roof.
Neither do I. Well, these run along the top rail of a fence where it's an ideal place. I put the live trap to catch the squirrels, and now I'm catching, again, the rats.
So what are you using to deter the rats?
Nothing. I just have a live trap. I catch them and dispose of them.
All right, here's what you do, Everett. You get, and this did wonders at our house, you get three cats. Get three cats! And we haven't had
a cat.
Well, you need three, I think, with this overpopulation of rats. I'll tell you what, they work like a charm. Oh, my gosh, they are gone. We have that one cat who is constantly hunting the backyard for some fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
Everett,
mm-hmm.
thanks for the call, my friend. Take care. All right, in the studio with us is Taylor Hamby with Friends of the Sutro Tunnel. So you're friends with the Sutro Tunnel, huh?
Yes, we have lots of friends at the Sutro Tunnel.
What is it with so many? Now, this is an old historic thing, and so many young people have gotten so attached to this amazing Sutro Tunnel, and you have rehabbed it pretty much. Little history here. It's been closed for quite a long time, right?
That's correct, John. Yeah, it's been closed to the public for several years, several decades.
Is it reopened?
So there's the iconic Sutro Tunnel structure itself,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the historic town site of Sutro surrounding it. So it's a private ghost town. Both of those had been closed and in private ownership for decades. Our charity had been donated this 28-acre site, which includes the historic structure and 11 historic buildings surrounding it. And now we've been able to open it to the public again. So for guided history tours, special events, even ghost investigations. And so
but it's the first time
in years, yes.
It's a tunnel. So what do you have inside that tunnel that, because that's kind of a long tunnel. It goes all the way from Dayton to Virginia City, right?
That's correct. Yes, it's.
Do you have attractions inside the tunnel for you do?
That's certainly a vision of ours. So it has been it was collapsed for several decades.
Mm-hmm.
So the timbers and structures inside were rebuilt in the late 1970s poorly. They did not stand the test this time, and so they collapsed. And so what our charity organization
1970s
did,
or 18?
Correct, yes. That was a rebuild. It was initially built, ground broke in 1869, and it connected to Virginia City in 1878.
Oh, I didn't know they did a rebuild in 1970.
That was Houston Oil and Minerals, and they were...
to use it.
They were trying to see the viability of getting ore out of it, yes.
So why does a young person like you... get so attracted to the Sutro Tunnel?
That's a great question.
We got, like, from what I've seen, this group has a lot of hippies and everything, right?
Well,
artists, writers like yourself.
Hippies and artists have been attracted to the town of Sutro, especially in the 1960s and the 1970s. There's a lot of wild stories about that era there because it was so remote. Now there's houses almost to our gate in Dayton, but at the time in the 60s and 70s, there was nothing around for miles, no electricity, and they opened a saloon of some notoriety that some of our listeners maybe even have visited in the 1960s and 70s.
I don't know if this was for an event or anything, but I seen pictures on your website of the Sutro Tunnel, and inside you have like a little bar set up. And beer and what was that?
Oh, that was wonderful. That was really a moment in history in modern history because it had been collapsed for several decades, and our organization, spearheaded by our fearless leader Chris, a young, energetic, passionate history lover that some of you may have seen on YouTube, Chris Pattison, he had this vision to rebuild it, and he was told, "No way, not going to happen, impossible. It can't be done. People have tried and failed, as we've seen, and it's just not going to happen."
Well,
but he did, and he rebuilt it. And for the first initial 50 feet to Adolf Sutro, the visionary of the Sutro Tunnel, to his original design.
It's stable. It's
the first 50 feet are that we just rebuilt just this over this.
Oh, that had to be a huge undertaking.
It certainly
like
was.
I said, it's a long tunnel. The group is called Friends of the Sutro Tunnel. Why does the Sutro Tunnel need friends?
Because it was left in disrepair for so many years, number one. Yeah. It is an important historic structure directly and metaphorically related to the Comstock mining lode region and that story of the 1870s in 1860s that formed our beautiful state and did so many other amazing things for history. And the Sutro Tunnel was a pivotal point in that history, but then went to disrepair and neglect over the more recent decades. And it needs friends because we're here to rebuild it, rebuild the legacy, spread the word about the importance of it, and get people onto the site, because for a long time you had to kind of trespass to get on site, and that never ended well. So now we've opened it in a legal and safe way and an educational way for people.
When can people walk through the Sutro Tunnel?
So we have a couple different avenues for people to visit. We do these amazing guided history tours twice.
You don't let people just run loose then?
No, it is still closed to the public except for these following ways.
Oh, for special tours.
Special tours we open it up for. Those are twice a month from April to September.
How do people arrange that to go?
You can go on our website, thesutrotunnel.org, and we've got our, you can purchase your tickets there. We also open it free to elementary school classes, so they can take field trips there.
Cool!
Which is pretty neat. The kids love it. And we also do paranormal investigations. We have a group called Spirited Investigations.
Why? Is the Sutro Tunnel haunted?
Some say. As well as we have 11 historic buildings on site, too. And so that's where most of the investigation is these buildings.
What do you need from people?
We need people to tell a friend. We need people to be aware of the site. Come visit it. It's so much more than the tunnel. The tunnel gets a lot of attention, understandably, but there's so much more. We've got this amazing ghost town that people can come visit that's been, closed to the public for so many years, and this has been a life dream for a lot of people to come see it. So we need people to come visit it and then tell a friend. We are always looking for more friends that can join us as donors, volunteers to help restore the buildings.
All right, folks, go on a tour twice a month, says Taylor. The tour isn't all the way down the tunnel, is it?
It is not. We have only built the
first... How long is the tunnel?
3.88 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
So that is a long-term possibility.
How far did the tours go into the tunnel?
We only have rebuilt the first 50 feet.
Okay.
And then at that point, it the tour ends. But that's a massive undertaking in and of itself. That was impossible.
And your goal is to rehab or strengthen the entire tunnel, the whole 3-some miles, right?
We'd like to get back as far as possible. Right now, what seems to be the most viable is to rebuild, pending the funds to do so, and we're in fundraising mode now. But the goal is to go back at least to this clay wall dam that Houston Oil and Minerals encountered.
Yeah.
That's a few thousand feet back, and at least get to that clay wall dam and then see what's viable from there.
How did she get your hands on this tunnel? I'm thinking there had to be a ton of regulations to overcome to utilize and be a part of this.
Well, it was an interesting thing since the Sutro Tunnel was privately owned for so many years.
Yeah. Did you buy it?
It was gifted to our nonprofit. So the Friends of the Sutro Tunnel started coming
that's
and rehabbing the buildings on site,
the
tunnel.
Oh, that's great.
And the Sutro Tunnel Company saw that, and they donated mm-hmm. the tunnel as well as the surrounding 28 acres.
I've seen pictures of the tunnel, and it's such a cool tunnel because it's kind of like wide and everything. I mean, it's like a hidden city.
Yeah.
Almost underneath the ground. Okay. Anything else? Oh, you got brochures. Look
well,
at this.
Let
me see here. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Preserving the past for the future. And your website is called thesutrotunnel.org. It was envisioned and carried out by Adolf Sutro. And this is what brought Nevada alive with the mining and such. And what an accomplishment that you're kidding me. You mean you can transport water from Dayton to Virginia City? We can do that. We did it. Humans can do the most possible things except make the DMV open for everybody.
Yeah, Adolf Sutro did a lot of amazing things here in Nevada, but no, he did not perfect the DMV.
Oh, the DMV. Folks, we'll take calls on the DMV. I love it. 884-9910, or if you want to talk Sutro Tunnel. Hey, thanks for coming out here, Taylor.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it.
Come back, and once again, the website is thesutrotunnel.org. Go on a tour, or be a part of this organization. Take new members, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Taylor, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So nice meeting you. We're going to break for Fox News. Our phone number, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. On 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time is 11:31.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Phone number is 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Let's go to Joe in Sparks. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Fantastic. I was, with this cloud cover today, I was in the backyard working, and I missed most of the show. Did anybody mention the interterrestrial deal that they had going on in Washington during the week?
An extraterrestrial? Oh, yes. You mean the testifying?
Extraterrestrial, did I say interterrestrial? Yeah.
No. I unidentified flying objects testimony. Yeah, that was quite shocking from that one person who worked in the agency and was telling about. It blew my mind, really. This is not somebody off the street. This is somebody who worked. What's your take on it, Joe?
Well, I have this theory that, they got here in the 20th century, early 20th century, and for about 100 years now, they've been just hanging around hoping that we got intelligent enough to communicate with them. Then they heard Biden give a speech, and I guess it seems like they're going to wait another 100 years now to try to communicate with us. And I actually think Hunter might be an extraterrestrial. Isn't he from the third crack rock from the White House?
Oh, that's
isn't that
good.
Where he's from?
Oh, that's
huh?
Very
you like
good.
That?
Well,
okay,
listen,
anyway,
I was talking about the, now here was my question, though, and I touched on DeSantis. I said my personal favorite was Tim Scott, and 1% of the nation agrees. Who would you favor going up against President Biden?
Well, first of all, it's got to be Trump, and I think Scott as vice president might be a good deal.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have issues. I think a lot of people have issues with Trump, but I had a moment of clarity earlier this week seeing the poll numbers showing DeSantis can't even win his own state where he's the popular governor. Trump beats him 2-1 in Florida. And so,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I think a lot of people have problems with Trump, not because of what Trump did, but because of what the Democrats did to the presidency.
Sure. Yeah.
That's my take on it. I mean, he didn't do anything. I don't care. Because you can see now what's going on, that what he did was nothing. I mean, it's just... And most of the things they said he didn't do. Or everything they said so far, I think, is in 100% now, everything they blamed him on or tried to accuse him of was false.
Right.
100%. So I don't know what issues you have with Trump, but I think he's great. I think he's just a...
The White House seems to be taking over with the Democrats, very heavy on PR and calling things like the border crossings. It's doing great right now. So many fewer. At a point, you have to not believe everything that comes out of there. And now they give every bill that they want billions and billions of dollars passed. They give it a fancy name. Like, improve the economy bill. Well, who could be against that, you know?
Yeah.
I guess
there's somebody in the Washington area who goes through the finances of the country, you know, what's going to happen if we spend this much money. And I guess the first day he got into office, they said, you don't need to put any more money into the economy. It's overloaded now. If you do, we'll have inflation. And what's the first thing he did? A couple $1 trillion he threw into the economy to buy the votes, and now we got inflation. You know, John, we used to have a friendly ghost hanging around our house, but inflation got so bad he had to go back to work.
It's junior high economics class, Joe.
Junior high.
The more you print money, the more inflation you're going to have. And Janet Yellen was just shocked by it. How can this be?
I got a 6-year-old grandson, a great grandson. And he's pretty good in math. It's just amazing how good he is in it. I bet if I say to him, here's the problem. You spend too much money, you have inflation. What should we do? And he'd say, stop spending money. That's amazing.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling. I appreciate your call.
So nice to talk to you, John. Have a nice day, buddy. Enjoy your show. I really enjoy your show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my friend. All local. That's what we do. 884-9910 is our number. So, as Joe said, what's your issue with Trump? Well, I'll tell you what. When the polls came out and Drudge put it on that it looks like an obvious matchup, Trump versus Biden. I made a list. It all comes down to which one are you going to vote for, not so much what issues you have with Trump. Let me explain this. I made a list who does better and has done better on every issue we're facing. I just thought through, I put Trump next to Biden on issue after issue after issue, and in every issue, including personal character, I found Trump superior. On that terrible black mark on Trump's record, January 6th, I put that up next to Joe Biden's refusal to accept constitutional decisions made by the Supreme Court. I have never seen a U.S. president openly criticize and even belittle, calling it not a normal court. I've never seen a president disrespect and treat with such disdain our nation's highest court, which in my upbringing, government class in school, was looked upon as a sacred institution, the Supreme Court. These are not our grandfather's liberals. With woke, in many ways, they're now the opposite of liberals. Liberals used to rightfully push for a colorblind society. That's not where they're at now. They're at, let's always notice race, always, and fundamentally as the most important thing. That's not a good attitude. It ignores our progress that so many have worked to attain over the years. It's not even appropriate to today, and it doesn't make things better. It's divisive. Liberals used to attack any sort of censorship. They were the loudest supporters of free speech back in the day. So ironic. They're the opposite now. Anyway, so Biden dismissed, criticized, and ignored the Supreme Court ruling against government paying all that college debt, which, come on, really was another vote-buying idea to pay it off anyway. They said, no, he overruled them and did it anyway. This violates what we all learned in eighth grade back about our country, although many were listening more than others. But it's the balance of power that our democracy is founded on. The balance of power is this. Our federal government has three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial. And now there's no balance. We now have this sort of imperial executive where, like, this one person will determine what is done and make decrees. The governor will determine what is done. The president will do what he wants, like what dictators do. Sisolak, on his own, shut down our Nevada businesses. Biden ignores and supersedes the Supreme Court. That's not what the founding fathers envisioned. It's actually what they shouted down. Don't let this happen. Because when one person, you know, I declare and decree, when one person rules, you kiss freedom goodbye, because that person's whim ends up being the most important determination for our society. That governor or president is not God Almighty. They are a temporary functionary in a government system. That's definitely not a we the people deal, right? And the fact that they don't get their way in the legislature or in a court indicates that maybe the people don't want what that person is trying to cram into their lives. That's not the American model, just not the way things should be done. And shame on both aides, sides that do this, Republicans and Democrats both. It's like cards in football. You follow the rules of the game, and they're not doing that. And so on my list of pros and cons that I made, I thought, which of these two things, January 6th or not accepting a Supreme Court decision, which is a greater threat to the way our country is supposed to work? And the one that came out better, the better person on my list, even with January 6th in the mix, was Donald Trump. Now, if it comes down to those two, I'll still call it the two worst choices we've ever had on Election Day. But if you're a Republican, like maybe, 60, 70% of our listeners, what do you think? What do you do? Do you feel good enough about a Trump re-presidency? Can you support it? Could you vote for him? 884-9910. I'm sorry, Craig, what was that thing I just saw you put up there? Oh, okay. Former President Trump lashed out Wednesday at the Supreme Court. Oh, again. Okay, three of those.
October of 23, October 22nd of 23. That you were saying you were saying that nobody's criticized the Supreme Court. Well, he lashed out.
Oh, did I say that? Okay. Yeah. Well, he lashed out. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And it was affecting three of the justices that he appointed. That he was upset about too.
But that's over his papers, right?
No, this is obtaining its federal income tax returns. Yeah.
Okay.
He was wanting them to block a congressional committee from obtaining his federal tax returns.
Well, folks, what do you say? 884-9910. Who do you hope becomes the candidate to take on our president? 884-9910. We just only have like 10 more minutes here, so get your call in now. 884-9910. I'm John Potter, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:48.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hi, folks. John Potter. 884-90. Too much coffee. Always does that to me. 884-9910. Craig, are you ready for an incredibly unpopular opinion?
Okay. I'll make myself ready.
All right. I cannot stand that everything smells like marijuana now. No disrespect, but it's the smell of skunk, and I just can't stand it.
You know, I've noticed in two areas I drive through on a regular basis that on the freeway I can smell it. And that's getting on the freeway off of I-80 going to southbound 580. Right there as you come across Glendale Avenue, right there, between Glendale and Mill Street. And then down on 580 again, but this is south. This is down by Browns Creek and Galena Creek Bridge, right in that area.
See, just, now that on the roads would worry me the most. It does affect your reflexes. I don't care what users will fight with me and everything, but no, it does. It slows your reflexes and everything. I was behind a post office truck at a stoplight, and there were clouds coming out of that thing.
Oh, it was vaping in the truck?
Yes, and you wonder why you get somebody else's mail right there. But it's increasingly the smell of Nevada. It used to be I'd go running in the city, and on rare days, I'd pass this or that, and I got a pretty good whiff. Nowadays, it's noticeably more common, and also in a lot of places when I'm not running. Hotel hallways. If I smell it in the hotel hallway, I go back and I change rooms. It's in other places where people gather. I don't believe that that's appropriate for where the kids are.
And see, the vaping isn't regulated like the actual marijuana is. Vaping, you can have the non psychoactive portion in your.
Well, if I can smell it, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
exactly. Where it comes from, it's the worst smell. If I don't have to smell your secondhand tobacco smoke, and thank you, I'm glad I don't. I'm grateful. Then I shouldn't have to smoke your secondhand marijuana smoke either. So there, I said it.
Agreed.
Everybody else is afraid to say this. Now, that's all my personal opinion, so let's just take that and set it aside. There are a lot of people who like marijuana, and we were told by the state of Nevada years ago that marijuana is legal and that the production and sale of marijuana is a legal business. And in our last Nevada legislative session, there was even an attempt to expand that to having marijuana lounges where you can use for whatever time and then get in your car and drive all over town, just like the drinkers do.
Yeah, the statewide legislator, they did approve that for marijuana lounges. City of Reno, just either this last Wednesday or the previous
council
meeting, they said no, not at all. And I think the county has also said no in county, in unincorporated county, I believe.
Why do we need another intoxicant, if that's a correct word, to our list of legal permissible drugs to be sold at storefronts?
To be taxed?
To be taxed. You know what? It's funny you say that, because I just watched a TV special on Prohibition. You know why they brought back the booze? Prohibition actually wasn't doing that badly. Yeah, there were a lot of bootleggers and everything like that. What brought the booze back and Prohibition to an end was the federal government wanted the tax money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was done. So anyway, I and many others believe the whole enterprise with marijuana is wrong and will damage society. But this is Nevada, and that's kind of our specialty, right? Again, this is me talking. But I think there are a fair number of people who don't want their kids around that. And let me, if I could go back to an earlier day, there used to be the belief that marijuana was a gateway drug, that you use this, then you get high or whatever, and you say, hey, I like being high. And so you try other things trying to get higher, right? And, you know, people condemn that. They say it's not a gateway. Others say it is. I personally think that alcohol is similarly a gateway drug. I'm not a big alcohol fan anymore, but the fact remains that for at least a certain percentage of users, marijuana will be a gateway drug. And here we are promoting it and such like that in the state of Nevada. You wonder, when they advertise gambling in Nevada, they have to put the gambling hotline in there in case you have a problem. Will they do the same with marijuana? Anyway, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. who wants to be angry on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, way to bring the show down in the last minute and a half, John.
That's why I saved it to the end before they come and tar and feather me.
far and tether you?
It's the coffee. Damn it. Too much.
You've talk made up about for addictions. Your loss. Yeah.
Here I am talking addictions, and coffee is my main and only addiction right now. Come on, inner peace. I don't have all day, as I like to say. Anyway, we'll be back next Saturday. Craig, thank you for producing the show and trying your best to handle me. Oh, my goodness.
There's texting no handling me. You, John.
You would think you would learn that after a while, but still I get these texts and things from you, and I'll reform. I'll get better. Next Saturday, 9 to noon, I'm John Potter. We're going to be here once again at 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk. And have yourself a fantastic new week, and I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about on Saturday. So, again, enjoy the day, make the most of it, and I'll see you next Saturday. Bye, folks.